जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय, ग्रंथ राज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, continuing our reading from the 19th chapter of 5th canto, the island of Jambudvipa, text 8. Suro suro vapi atha vanaro naraha sarvatmanaya sukritajnam uttamam, भजेत रामं मनुजाकृतिं हरिं, य उत्तरानयत् कोशलान् दिवामिति। Try to recite in unison as much as possible. सुरो सुरो वापि अथवा नरो नरः, सर्वात्मनाय सुकृतज्ञमुत्तमम्, भजेत रामं मनुजाकृतं हरिं, य उत्तरानयत् कोशलान् दिवामिति। सुरो सुरो वापि अथवा नरो नरः,
सुरो
ಸೌಮ್ಯ. ಸುರೋ ಸುರೋ ವಾಪಿ ಅಥವಾ ನುರೋ ನರಃ ಸರ್ವಾತ್ಮನಾಯ ಸುಕೃತಜ್ಞಮೋತ್ತಮಂ ಭಜೇತ ರಾಮಂ ಮನುಜಾಕೃತಂ ಹರಿಂ ಯ ಉತ್ತರಾನನಯತ್ ಕೋಶಲಾಂದಿವಮಿತಿ. ಸುರಃ ಡೆಮಿಗಾಡ್, ಅಸುರಃ ಡೀಮನ್, ವಾ ಅಪಿ ಆರ್ ಅಥ ದೇರ್ಫೋ, ವಾ ಆರ್ ಅನರಃ other than a human being, bird, beast, animal, and so on. Naraha, a human being. Sarvatmana, wholeheartedly. Yaha, who? Sukritagyam, easily made grateful. Uttamam, most highly elevated. Bhajeta, should worship. Ramam, Lord Ramachandra. Manuja Akritim, appearing as a human being. Harim, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yaha, who? Uttaran, of northern India. Anayat, brought back. Koshalan, the inhabitants of Kosala Desha, Ayodhya, Divam, to the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, Iti, thus. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Therefore, whether one is a demigod or a demon, a man or a creature other than man, such as a beast or bird, everyone should worship Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appears on this earth just like a human being. There is no need of great austerities or penances to worship the Lord, for he accepts even a small service offered by his devotee. Thus he is satisfied, and as soon as he is satisfied, the devotee is successful. Indeed, Lord Sri Ramachandra brought all the devotees of Ayodhya back home, back to Godhead, Vaikuntha. Purport. Lord Sri Ramachandra is so kind and merciful to his devotees that he is very easily satisfied by a little service rendered by anyone, human or not. This is the special advantage of worshipping Lord Ramachandra, and there is the same advantage in worshipping Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Krishna and Lord Ramachandra, in the manner of Kshatriyas, sometimes showed their mercy by killing asuras. But Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu awarded love of God without difficulty even to the asura. All the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but especially Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna, and later Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, delivered many of the living entities present before them. Indeed, almost all of them. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is therefore represented in the six-armed form of Shadbhuja Murti, which is a combination of Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna, and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The best purpose of human life can be fulfilled by worshipping the Shadbhuja Murti, the form of the Lord with six arms, two arms of Lord Ramachandra, two arms of Krishna, and two arms of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶಿವಾಸದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಇಸ್ ದಿ ಮೈಕ್ ಅವೈಲಬಲ್ ಫಾರ್ ದಿ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್? ಓಕೆ, ಸೊ ಐ ವಾಂಟ್ ಟ್ರೈ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್. ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್, ಮೈ ಗ್ರ್ಯಾಟಿಟ್ಯೂಡ್ ಟು ಗೋಕುಲ್ ಅನಂದ ಪ್ರಭು ಫಾರ್ ಐ ಗೆಸ್ ಗಿವಿಂಗ್ ಅಪ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್ ಟರ್ನ್ and letting me do this. There are a couple of points that I want to emphasize, Prabhupada brings out. But first of all, is there a difference, not philosophically speaking, because philosophically speaking there are no differences in any of the incarnations of the Lord, but yet simultaneously there is some difference. What is the difference among other incarnations of Krishna versus Lord Ramachandra, Krishna, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? These three are in seemingly in one category, if you will. What is the difference? Wow, with bells.
I've heard that Nrisingadev, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Ram, and Krishna are all Swayam Rup Krishna, that they have the four special opulences of Krishna, like the flute and the loving pastimes and like that. They just don't manifest them depending on the form. But then the other expansions, the other Vishnu Tattva expansions, will not have those four qualities.
Okay, I haven't heard like that, but I guess something to learn from me. Siddharth? I'm probably looking for something simpler than that. Yeah, Siddharth.
I read somewhere that in terms of mentioning those qualities, Lord Ram, in terms of just the number of qualities, Lord Ram comes right after Krishna. Even in the spiritual world, I read some, again, I'm not able to recollect where, but the abode is somewhat special. It's beyond the Vaikuntha planets.
Correct. It's at the periphery of Goloka Vrindavan. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I was talking to one devotee. I was at a Glen Prabhu, and I was we were trying to see. He was asking the same question. I was trying to say that Lord Ram also shows friendship, but the friendship most of the times is more sambrama, respectful, whereas Krishna is Vishramba, more intimate, and he has conjugal relationship, but that's limited to Mother Sita, and no one can be Mother Sita. But the other relationships are there, both in Lord Ram and Lord Krishna, Vatsalya.
Okay, very good. Anything else? Raise your hand so we know who to pass the mic to. Go ahead, Ankit.
He's Mahavadanyaya.
He
bestows.
All other incarnations are also Mahavadanyaya. Of course, here's Prabhupada's calling out, especially Lord Ramachandra, like that. Another, if you look at Lord Narsingadev, for example, is there any doubt whether he's God or not? No. If you have a doubt, he will let you know. Or Varaha, or Vamana also, for that matter, where their identity as God is very clear. But as soon as it comes to Lord Ramachandra, Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because they're in the human form, they're often misunderstood or taken as ordinary. Interestingly, if you see from the beginning of Bhagavatam to where Vyasadeva is taking us, in all the other cantos, the different avatars appear. There's discussion here and there, but when you come to ninth canto, which is very close to the face of the Lord, the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra and Krishna appear because they're very difficult to understand. Often misunderstood because it's very human-like.
They exhibited human-like behaviors. Therefore, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, fools deride me when I appear in my human-like form. So this human-like form is almost like bewildering. It's easy to understand God as this very powerful, fully opulent, immense strength. We know, right? The six opulences of the Lord are unlimited or infinite quantities of strength, beauty, knowledge, renunciation, fame. Said wealth, didn't we? What else? Let's go again. Wealth, strength, beauty, knowledge, renunciation, and fame. And they don't need the assistance of anyone else, literally speaking. Narsingadev just blasted the pillar and ripped apart Hiranyakashipu and the whole entourage. Varahadev appeared from the nostril of Brahma and became so gigantic in size that it's described that the residents of Maharloka, Janaloka, Brahmaloka, all three of them simultaneously were able to see Varahadev. Can you imagine such a big size? It's inconceivable. But when it comes to Lord Ramachandra, for example, he needed the help of monkeys and bears. This is where it starts getting a little... On one hand, when Hanuman had to jump 800 miles, all he did was say, Jai Shri Ram, and the potency of the holy name catapulted him from Rameshwaram to Lanka and back. But when Lord Ramachandra came to the shore of the ocean, he wondered, how am I going to cross this? And so there was a Ishtagoshti. Lord Ramachandra sat in meditation, called the demigod of the oceans and asked him, can you please help us cross the ocean? And he said, oh yeah, actually there's a pastime. He doesn't show up. And so in different versions of Ramayana, there's different ways explained. In the Bhagavatam is described that Lord Ramachandra became upset and he stared at the ocean. And in a moment, the ocean started boiling. All the fish and other creatures in the ocean became restless because of the heat. And the waters were boiling. And the Samudra Dev showed up and said, I'm sorry, I misunderstood. I thought you were some ordinary human being. What service may I do? He said, I would like to have a bridge across the ocean. Oh, yeah, yeah. Whatever stone, mountain peak, whatever you throw, it will all float. And then he said, oh, Hanuman and all the Vanaras, can you please help? And so he needed their help. If you go back prior in his pastime, when Sita Devi was abducted, in the previous verses is described, Hanuman is glorifying Lord Ramachandra, that Lord Rama started crying piteously for his wife. And he became so enamored, bewildered, that he started walking and asking every bird, every animal, a tree, a plant, the leaves, have you seen Sita? Have you seen Sita? He was like a forlorn man who's completely heartbroken and he's singing the blues. And so one thing's like, what? This is the Lord. Why is he behaving like that? Of course, Hanuman's describing. The reason is he was showing that even if you're a very great personality, when you have attachments, they're very painful. So he needed the help of Hanuman and Sugriva. He comes to Sugriva, the king of the monkeys, and he tells him, I'm searching for my wife. I've heard that Ravana has kidnapped Sita, but I don't know where she is. I need your help. And so Sugriva says, well, I can help you, but I also need your help. I have a problem with my older brother, Vali. So Lord Ramachandra says, all right, I will first help you, and then you can help me. There are some fantastic qualities of the Lord here, that generally when two people need help, the discussion is who gets help first. You help me, then I will help you. But Lord Ramachandra showed, I will help you first, and then you can help me. Although his need was greater, Sita Devi had been abducted, and Sugriva was already living in exile for a long time. But the need was greater. Lord Rama's need was greater. Yet he first assisted Sugriva. And you know, interestingly, after he killed Vali and gave Sugriva the whole kingdom, Sugriva forgot his promise to Lord Ramachandra. He was enjoying royal opulence. He was intoxicated like anything. And Ramachandra did not come to Sugriva and say, hey, I thought we had a deal here. He didn't say anything. He just waited patiently. You know how many months he waited? 4 months. Patiently. Just waited. Imagine that. Waiting and waiting for someone else to fulfill their end of the deal. Lakshmana became very upset. So what is this nonsense? I will go right now and kill that Sugriva. He came angrily. It's described when Lakshmana was walking, the earth was trembling. He was very angry. You made a promise to Lord Ramachandra. So it's described that at that moment, no one could pacify Lakshmana. So they had to come up with a plan, what to do. So Hanuman, who is Sugriva's minister, quickly whispered to Sugriva, you're dead, buddy. This is not going to work. You haven't fulfilled your promise. Bring your wife to speak to Lakshmana. By your wife's pacifying Lakshmana, he will accept. If anyone else goes and speaks to him, he will kill them. So they bring Sugriva's wife to Lakshmana, and she says, oh, I'm so sorry. What to do? He is a weak-hearted person. He had made a promise and he forgot. But please don't kill him. So Lakshmana's anger went away. He said, all right, ask him to come back quickly. So that's how Lord Ramachandra took help of the monkeys and bears. He doesn't need any help. Lord Krishna. Really misunderstood. Little boy playing with his friends and all the demons that Kamsa sent, they thought, who's this little boy? Ha, we can take care of him. And interestingly, the demon mentality of, in general, demon mentality means the mentality in the mode of ignorance. And the definition of stupidity is trying to do the same thing again and again, hoping for a different result. So Putana came, she was killed by this infant. Shakatasura was killed, Trinavarta was killed, Bakasura, Agasura, Denukasura, Arishtasura, Keshi. So many demons were being killed when Krishna was a little boy, one after the other. And somehow they couldn't get the message that this boy is extraordinary. In fact, when Krishna killed Agasura, Lord Brahma said, who is this little boy? Must be some ordinary boy. Let me play a little trick on him. And he kidnapped all the calves and the cowherd boys. First he kidnapped the calves, then the cowherd boys. And there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of calves and cowherd boys who were all Krishna's friends. And he hid them in a cave. So in Brahma's time scale, it's a moment. And in the earthly time scale, that was a whole year. So when he came back after hiding all the calves and the cowherd boys in the cave, he came back to see, let me see what this little boy does. Maybe he's crying for his friends. And when he came back, he saw Krishna with all his friends and all the calves right there. So for a moment, Lord Brahma said, oh, what happened? Maybe they escaped. So he went back to the cave. And he saw all the calves and the cowherd boys in the cave. He came back and they were all here too. And the pastime is for a whole year, as the cowherd boys and calves went back home each day, their mothers felt surge of love for them, which was not ordinary. The cows felt their milk bags, or their udders, fuller. And every mother, every gopi, she felt so attracted to her son. Like they said, what happened? Usually Krishna is our attraction. Nowadays I'm feeling very attracted to my own son. Why? Because Krishna had expanded himself into all the calves, all the cowherd boys. They were all Krishna. So for a whole year, the mothers and the cows, they're all in super ecstasy. So Brahma was like, what is going on? And Lord Brahma is not ordinary. We shouldn't think that, what is this? Our acharya of the sampradaya, our line bewildered, is describing Krishna's position. And it's described that Brahma came to realization that this ordinary little boy is not ordinary. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead who's happily playing as a little boy with his friends. And so he comes and offers these prayers. There's a picture, the BBT painting, the Lord Brahma with his four heads bowing down in front of Krishna. And it's described that Krishna was holding a flute in one hand and a ball of butter in the other. And he stood there while Lord Brahma offers these fantastic prayers. 10th canto, 14th chapter, full of Lord Brahma's prayers. And Krishna was waiting, saying, okay, can you finish your prayers quickly? I gotta go play with my friends. Very bewildering. When Krishna, he would walk here and there, those who were against Krishna, you know, the friends of Shishupal, Dantavakra, all these people, they would look at Krishna's limbs. It was so delicate. Krishna was, he's not like, because he's the strongest, he was like this macho, muscular guy, as they show in Yahoo, you know, some ads, rip your body and like, it was so ugly. Krishna's not like that. His arms are so delicate. Every little limb was so... But he was strong like anything. In the early 70s, late 60s, early 70s, when the Hare Krishna movement was just taking on, Prabhupada had commissioned a bunch of devotees to do paintings. And Prabhupada was described that Narada Muni is this transcendental spaceman. So the devotees had a conception of, oh, you know, from comics, you know, the superhero, that he could fly to any universe at will. So they drew a painting, or they painted Narada Muni with a veena in his hand and his biceps and triceps completely ripped. Prabhupada said, what is this? This is not Narada Muni. Narada Muni is not like that. He is very delicate, very, very soft body. So Krishna is also a very soft body like that. In fact, it's described that when Lord Ramachandra left the palace to go to exile and he entered the forest, it was heartbreaking for the residents of Ayodhya. Because even in the palace, Lord, they would not allow Lord Ramachandra or Sita Devi to put their feet on the ground, lest their feet might hurt, because the soles of their feet were so delicate. So delicate that they would hold them, you know, with certain padded pillows, and there's so much service they would do because they were so delicate. And then Lord Rama and Sita Devi walked through the forest barefoot. So the residents of Ayodhya felt like they were going to die just looking at Lord Ramachandra dressed in tree bark, no shoes, walking through the forest over stones and gravel and thorns. So Lord Krishna, because he's in the human form, is often misunderstood by persons. In general, to understand God is very difficult, especially in the human form, creates a little complexity. Then what to speak of Lord Chaitanya? He is already a hidden avatar. And so he appeared as a devotee of Krishna. And anytime anyone would say, "Oh, you're Krishna," he would close his ears, loudly shout, "Vishnu, Vishnu," and jump in the Ganges. So he was not understood, he was not realized. In fact, his own students, one day he was in this ecstatic mood, thinking about the gopis, the damsel, the residents of Vrindavan, and he was saying, "Gopi, Gopi." And a little, you know, immature student corrected his teacher. "What? Why are you chanting the names of Gopi, Gopi? You should say the names of Krishna." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his special mood, picked up a stick and chased the fellow. "What are you talking?" He then realized, people will misunderstand. They will not take me seriously unless they see, "Oh, sannyasi, oh." Then they will naturally become subservient, or they will become more obedient, at least respectful. So these three, it has a very, these three forms of the Lord are often misunderstood. Now these three, at the same time, are extremely magnanimous. Very, very, very merciful. And their mercy is shown because by nature the Lord is extremely grateful. Here the word is sukritagyam. So that's the second thing I want to focus on. Kritagyam, we understand that as devotees of Krishna, without gratitude we cannot perform, or we cannot continue on the path of spiritual life day in and day out. The more we cultivate a grateful heart, the more joyful and easier spiritual life becomes. Because for gratitude to reside in the heart has to be simple. Simple means recognizing how anyone and everyone are making small, medium, large, extra large, tall and big, whatever, contributions in our Krishna consciousness. If we think, even by mistake for a moment, that whatever is happening in our life, we're feeling a sense of advancement or happiness, or we're getting some realizations, is on the strength of our own practices, or only on the strength of our own practices, then we need a little counseling. The reason that we can continue every day, we get the strength to continue day in and day out, we get the strength to turn away from the onslaught of Maya. Maya is brutal and completely unforgiving. So that's the choice we got to make. Do we come to Krishna, who is very forgiving, or do we go to Maya, who is extremely unforgiving? It doesn't matter who it is, Maya is not forgiving. It can be a young bhakta, an established devotee, a very senior devotee, it doesn't matter. She is very unforgiving. On the other hand, Krishna is very forgiving. It doesn't matter who we are. In fact, the more helpless we feel, the more Krishna's attention comes to us. He's interested in us. So we are surviving every day in our Krishna consciousness because of the support of other devotees, somehow or the other. And so if we have a sense of gratitude, that's what keeps us alive. In fact, we will notice that even when our bodies are feeling weak, our minds are already weak, we don't feel like really serving Krishna. Even a fraction of the sense of gratitude, if it's there, it impels us to go beyond our difficulties. Oh, Krishna has been so kind to me. How can I not serve him? The spiritual master has accepted me. How can I not serve? The devotees are so kind. How can I not? That itself is very, very powerful. And we have to work at it. This is something we have to practice. But for Krishna, it is his nature. Sukritagya. So Prabhupada would say that if we do a little service, Krishna will never forget that service. He will never forget. He will remember it for eternity. And he will reciprocate. So here, Hanuman is offering this prayer that Lord Ramachandra, it's better, in fact, everyone should worship Lord Ramachandra or Lord Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because out of their sense of gratitude for the least amount of service offered, they extend lot of mercy. In fact, Krishna is waiting impatiently to give us a lot of mercy. The only lacking is in our taking or receiving it. We're distracted. Or we don't understand completely the value of what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is extending to us. For most persons, we think that, oh, a lifestyle change, this is nice. That I used to have bad habits, now I don't have bad habits. I used to have some other, trauma or difficulties, and now I don't have by the chanting of the holy name. I have a nice regulated lifestyle. I have something to do. I have a place to stay. Krishna is taking care of me. But this is not what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving. This is just the, extremely peripheral benefits. What Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving is himself to us. So we should understand that the execution of bhakti is not just a transformation or a change of lifestyle and something, some nice things, it's in the mode of goodness. Bhakti is not in the mode of goodness. It is beyond. It is where Krishna is making himself fully available to such a degree that for the service rendered, Krishna becomes the servant of his devotees. One who's ajita means unconquerable, becomes jita, becomes conquerable, just by the power of love or loving service. That's what Krishna's or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is wanting to give. It's not easy, it's rare. We read in the Nectar of Devotion, it's very rare, yet it is possible. It is possible for each and every one of us to access Krishna fully. Not just Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but Krishna as the most lovable personality, intimate friendship. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving, and how, and to who? Without any qualification, and to every member of Kali Yuga. What's the qualification for membership to the Hare Krishna movement? We have to be born in the Kali Yuga. We have to be born in Kali Yuga. If you were born in Satyuga, we have too many good qualities. The moment we are in Kali Yuga, we're ready for the Sankirtan movement. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is looking for the personalities like us, giving it to us. The most disqualified personality. There are two things. Not having qualification is one thing. Being disqualified is a whole different thing. We're disqualified. But by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada, we're here. We're here where the great yogis are not. Yogis have to struggle for a long time. Sit down in meditation, control their breathing, control all their senses, sit in the Himalayas. Here we're chanting and dancing and eating pakoras and pizza and somehow moving 16 beads from up to down, and it's made a lot easier. Of course, I'm making light of it, but you get the idea. It's very easy. You can't walk and meditate. Right? You have to meditate like this. We can walk and drive, like we can chant and drive. Everything is made it so easy. But the relationship is on the basis of gratitude. So he is talking about the Shad Bhuja form, the six-armed form of the Lord. The six arms are two of Lord Ramachandra, two of Krishna, and two of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This form was revealed to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in Jagannath Puri by Lord Chaitanya. We all know the pastime, so I'm not going to go through the pastime. But when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was first doubting, and Sarvabhauma was not a wrangler on the street who defied all authority and basically said, I don't care. Oh, he was very scholarly. In fact, he was such a scholar that he had about 600 or 6,000 sannyasis learning from him. And his abilities were so impeccable. He could look at a book and memorize the book. He had gone to North India to get a particular book as a reference. They told him, we can't give it to you, there's only one copy. He said, all right, can I look at the book? He looked at it and he said, thank you. Now I've downloaded it. He remembered every word, every syllable perfectly in one glance. That's just the sense of the kind of abilities he had. But he was like the most intelligent human being on the planet at that time. And when he met Lord Chaitanya, he said, I don't accept you as God. What is this? Where in the scriptures is there reference to you, for you? And they had some discussion. Of course, he spoke for 7 days and Lord Chaitanya sat quietly, you know, that pastime. At the end of it, when he accepted, oh, now I understand who you are. I'm so sorry. I misunderstood you. Then Lord Chaitanya showed him this beautiful form with six arms. Two arms of golden color holding a mendicant staff, a renunciate staff, and the water pot. Two greenish arms holding a bow and arrow, and two dark limbs holding a flute. So he understood that Krishna, Rama and Lord Chaitanya are the same personality. So if you go to Jagannath Puri, to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you'll see this deity on the wall. Beautiful deity. And very meaningful. There is a verse in the 11th canto where the Navayogendras are speaking to Maharaj Nimi. I can't remember the verse straight off right now, but it starts with Tyaktva Sudustaja Surepsita Raja Lakshmim. And it's described that one verse indicates Lord Ramachandra, indicates Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all three. So it's like the Shadbhuja verse, beautiful verse. So our hope is the wonderful mercy coming from Lord Chaitanya. And our ability to access it is the reciprocal gratitude. Without that, it's not possible. Gratitude is the only impelling force to continue against the current of the material energy. One may not, like yesterday's verse, one may not have any other qualities, any other abilities. If we can have gratitude, we made it. And it's not just gratitude like functional gratitude. Oh, I'm very grateful to Krishna. But gratitude that's demonstrated in all our activities. It's the greatest protection. The moment our mind gets attracted to something outside of Krishna, that's the gratitude that will help us. Oh, how can I turn away? Krishna has done so much for me. The Vaishnavas and Guru has done so much for me. How can I turn away? It's called chastity in a different way, if you like. Gratitude is the one that gives chastity its strength. Because a person who's chaste is trustworthy. Unchaste, you cannot be trustworthy. Right? All of scriptures glorify chaste people, not unchaste people. There's a story in Ramayana, I forget, and I'll end with Ramayana or Mahabharata. I can't remember the details right now. But there was an ungrateful man, and he had done something that had exhibited his lack of gratitude. So all the residents of that village had banished him from the village. So he was walking in the forest. There was a man-eating Rakshasa. And the man-eating Rakshasa came to this guy. He was ready because he was hungry. And he said, why are you roaming in the forest? So he explained, I was thrown out because I was ungrateful. So the Rakshasa said, I won't eat you. I mean, we can say that's a good way to be protected from Rakshasas, but even Rakshasa will not touch an ungrateful person. In fact, it's described that we offer prayers to Mother Earth, and we should every day. This morning, Prabhupada was talking on the altar. Sarva kama dugha mahi. That Mother Earth, she fulfills all the desires, or Krishna fulfills all the desires of all the living entities through Mother Earth. But she can bear the weight of all living beings, but she cannot bear the weight of an ungrateful person. It's too much. So it's different ways in which this quality is glorified. And this is coming from Krishna. He's very grateful. Very grateful for what? Of course, he doesn't need our service. We shouldn't think, oh, today if I don't offer him something to eat. He doesn't need it. But he's very grateful for anything that's offered. Lord Ramachandra doesn't need the monkeys to construct a bridge across the ocean. In fact, he's empowering them. He empowered Hanuman. He doesn't need. But it's a way, as part of the pastimes, to allow others to do some service. So it's our fortune, our good fortune, that Krishna has extended us the very, very grand opulence of a little service for him. So any opportunity like that shouldn't be missed. Okay, enough said. Any comments, questions? Siddharth?
After reading the purport, my question was going to be like, It's very obvious that Lord Chaitanya chose Krishna to be one of those other person in the Shedbuj form, but it wasn't obvious why Lord Ram, he could have chosen anyone really. So why specifically Lord Ram and the Shedbuj avatar? It could be anyone else too. So the whole class was about it, so thanks a lot. And I was, this question wasn't directly, the two questions, one was not directly related to the class, but I read a different parts about the complexion of Lord Ram. In Krishna Dharma Prabhu's book, it's described as emerald, which is bluish green, and some of the places is described as Neela, which we understand to be bluish. Neela, some places blackish. Darkish.
Yeah.
Okay. So my question was like, what's the most accurate, the closest description?
Dark doesn't mean color, it just means the intensity. He's darkish, that's first. Lord Chaitanya is not darkish. Lord Ramachandra is. And in many places described as the color of kusha grass, which is this greenish tinge to it. Emerald is dark green. It's not like dark green like that. That's how you understood. It's like kusha grass. You know, all my childhood, I always thought Lord Ramachandra is the same color as Krishna. But when I first time ever in my life met His Holiness Srila Chandramouli Maharaj, he was at a home program. The first time he had come into the Association of Devotees, he was talking about Lord Ramachandra. That's when he described his color is greenish. Sometimes they say parrot-like green, greenish, not blackish, but darkish. Any other? Mataji has a question?
Comment that His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj made. He said that, we came in as you were talking about how soft Krishna is. He said that Krishna's skin is so soft that a leaf falling on his skin leaves an impression. So how soft must be the heart of a person whose skin is so soft?
Mm.
And then Maharaj went on to say that Krishna's Kripa Shakti, His mercy, is His highest Shakti. So we can pray for the mercy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We are pachyderms. Our skin leaves an impression on others. We are thick-skinned, as they say. We don't get it. Okay. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for the really nice class. I was wondering if you could talk more on the practical side on how we can develop and cultivate gratitude.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. The tendency for a conditioned soul is to take things for granted. That's one. Second, a conditioned soul does not see others other than himself or herself, because they are the center of existence. For every conditioned soul, the entire world revolves around them. So yesterday we heard the word mother. Mother means madness, or arrogance, intoxicated with arrogance. We have nothing as qualifications, but the only thing we have is severe intoxication out of madness, that we are very significant. And that sense of significance drives everything that we do. And that sense of significance blinds us to anyone else in the picture, others' feelings, others' existence, others' contribution in our, it just doesn't matter because we take things for granted. This is called mother. In different places we call it pramatha. Pramatha means madness. So this quality of that sense of arrogance or significance makes the heart very, very hard. That we don't consider the feelings of others. In fact, we don't even see whether others are even around. We have ourselves, what we want to get to, and anyone who comes in the path, we crush them. We don't care. Or we come up with plans and devices of how to get them out of the way. So what happens is, the heart, because it is so hard because of that sense of significance, there's no place for gratitude. Gratitude, by definition, means understanding how someone else has made an impact on us. Our sense of gratitude is, on a conventional worldly level, is only cosmetic. Like someone opens the door for us, we say thank you. We don't mean it. We just say thank you. Because that's the right thing to say. And even in that thank you, it's about how we are perceived. If I don't say thank you, then I'm perceived as an arrogant fellow. I want to be perceived as a nice fellow. But still, I'm the center of things. But gratitude means the focus is on the other person. Other person is other devotee, Krishna, whoever, that context. Ultimately, everything is reposed to Krishna. Because Krishna is the source of everything. So, taking stock every day, how today my Krishna consciousness was facilitated by anyone and everyone. And acknowledging that is the first step. And to take it to the next step, that acknowledgement has to turn into some service that's rendered. If we don't render service in return, then that acknowledgement is not complete. It stays at what's called lip service. Thank you. It ends there. But even the thank you can be expressed with feelings. We notice that in the course of our day, we tend to become very mechanical in what we say or how we say. When we say thank you, hardly we don't even notice. So if we can, for example, here's an exercise for all of us. Right? We live here from morning to night. Can we take stock of all the different devotees who are contributing to our being here? Someone is doing some service. We don't even notice them. But they're doing something by which it's facilitating our stay here on a practical level. Someone is cooking, someone's cleaning, someone's paying the bills, someone is waking us up each morning, someone is reminding us of Krishna. If you're dozing out in class, someone taps our shoulder gently. Well, however, someone shares a realization, someone serves us prasadam. So many people are. And Krishna's behind all of this. Every day the sun is rising. This is a little bit more out there. Every day the sun is rising. Krishna's material energy is giving us the warmth. The air we're breathing. Every morning when we wake up, we open our eyes, we remember who we are. What if we forgot for a moment? That's scary. We can breathe, we can do things, we have abilities. Our bodies are being maintained by Krishna. Krishna's prasadam, Krishna's devotees, Krishna's thinking about our welfare. In the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, verse somewhere between 18 and 20, I can't remember right now. There's a purport. In that, there's a verse that Prabhupada quotes. He doesn't give a reference to where it comes from. But it starts with Darshana Dhyana Samsparshair Matsya Kurma Vihangamai. That the like the fish, the tortoise, and the bird, just as they take care of their little offspring, I take care of all my devotees. And Prabhupada writes that the fish, it hatches its eggs by looking at them. The tortoise hatches its eggs by meditating on them. She lays the eggs on the sand and the shore, but she's in the water and she meditates on those eggs and hatches them. Don't ask me how. And the bird, she sits on her eggs, and with the warmth of her body, she hatches her eggs. That's how she takes care. And Krishna says that by looking, by meditating, and by touching my devotees, I take care of them. Krishna's looking at us, is glancing at us every day. Somehow or the other, he's looking, as Paramatma is looking. He's thinking about our welfare. Someone, right? Some devotee of Krishna is definitely thinking about our welfare. Here and everywhere else. And by the loving engagement in this service, by encouraging us to do something there, they're maintaining us. Can we imagine for a moment that if we did not do any service, meaning no chanting, no hearing, no whatever service, that we would survive in our Krishna consciousness? Impossible. And if someone didn't give us to do, what would we do? The devotees are always eager to give someone some service. Why? Not because things have to get done. It's because benefiting the person who's doing. That's to acknowledge that minimally and to reciprocate with service is gratitude. Every day. Every day. Then we're very happy. Then there may be difficulties. It doesn't matter, actually. Difficulties become opportunities to see today how I can be grateful for how Krishna is taking care of me. That's on a more practical level, devotees are used to writing down. We used to keep what's called a gratitude journal. I did for many, many years. Now I don't have time to write, but we used to write every day in a little book how the different devotees have contributed to our Krishna consciousness. The spiritual master, the Vaishnavas, Krishna. However, so let's end with this. Is that okay? Does that answer? Let's end with this. Can we think of the different ways in which Krishna is reaching out to us? Not reaching out, actually extending himself to us. What are the different ways? The devotees, he has given his devotees for us to associate with. Very good. What else? Correct. He's reminding Jitendra Prabhu every night to turn it on. Yes, it's the heat. The process of devotional service. Very good. What else? Service too. Very good. He's directing the wanderings of all of us as Paramatma. Correct? Very good. What else? The form of deity to look at every day. What else? Huh? The Mahamantra to chant. Mataji. The holy name, the spiritual master, of course. Maharaj told us, we cannot live on philosophy alone. Without Mahaprasadam, the fact that we eat prasadam and all our difficulties go away without even trying to work at them, can you believe that? Can there be something more potent than that? You eat prasadam and the envy, the pride, the illusion, all vanishes from the heart simply by eating? Haribol. I mean, not only by eating, but simply by eating. What else? Wonderful. Gave us the human form of life. Krishna's system is so merciful. If there was not a natural progression to come back to the human form of life, we would not have made it. I can speak for myself. Right? If we do something, we go down to a lower species. That's the karmic law. But if there is not a natural merciful step up, we would not come back from wherever we were, right? There's a progression to somehow come back to the human form of life. This is mercy. What else? Shastra, thank you. Wonderful. Without Shastra, we wouldn't know what to do. Kirtan, yeah. There's also a very important thing. So hearing, very good. The process of hearing about him. If he did not perform pastimes, how would we hear about it? What would we hear? We'd hear the news. He's with us, life after life. We don't want him, but he's with us. Spiritual master, very good. One more thing. Of course, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada. Realizations. If he's not giving us realization about himself, about the process of bhakti, about the devotees, if he did not give realization, realization doesn't come because I held the bead bag in my hand and grr, 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 I did 16 rounds, I studied the book. If I studied the book and purports, I don't get realization. I get realization because Krishna gifts it. When he sees the sincerity that I'm trying to understand him, I'm trying to know him, then he says, here's a little bit about me. This is a gift. This is the most cherished gift for a devotee, is the realization about him. And we get realization suddenly from nowhere, right? That's gift. And we shouldn't think, looks I'm a little grateful today. That Krishna is very kind. But that's a gift, realization. Okay, there are more gifts we can contemplate on during the rest of the day. Thank you very much for being so patient and accommodating. Thank you, Gokulinda. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.